Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Happy Hour Friday here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. Noon hour straight ahead. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes. Smoke and Joe Patrick going to join us. Recap everything that's happened this week with the Falcons and free agency. Shout out to Frank Rudd. He's out there with a...
My dog.
It's like a freshly opened bottle of Basil Hayden and a cigar. It's a good start on a Friday. We appreciate it. If you're out there drinking something, send us a picture of it. Give you a shout out at TBM929, at RandyMac81, and we'll get to some Sports Jeopardy at 1240 as well.
I'm just thinking about because I saw some quotes from Myles Garrett talking about he talked to Russell and was like, you know, basically, okay, like, if you don't want to get sacked four times a year, come here.
Right.
Come play with Cleveland.
Yeah, at least you don't have to get hit by him anymore.
Yeah, you don't get hit by him. And then I saw what DK was saying, that he talked to Russ. Mm-hmm. And I guess because Russ hooked him up with him and Ciara hooked him up with this young lady that he's engaged to now.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I saw that at the press conference that he just got engaged to this young lady that was hooked up by her, Russ and Ciara.
So they were the matchmakers for DK.
All right. You know, so, I mean... And then,
you ever do that?
Huh?
You ever do that?
What?
You got like a single friend and you and your wife or whatever have like, I mean.
I did it one time.
Never.
I did it one time and I love him and he know, I talk about him because I talk about Emmanuel Mathis. Hooked up Emmanuel with one of Donna's girlfriends, mm-hmm. right? Mm-mm. Worst thing ever.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. Because of her, not because of him, because Emmanuel's freaking awesome. He's a good brother.
Sure.
But he knew what it was.
Right.
He didn't know what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
So right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the risk you run.
To be 20.
I'm not a matchmaker.
To be 20 again. To be that just
would like, you go back to be 20 again?
Oh man.
Hit a button?
I
don't think I would. I think this is better.
But I mean, I like this.
Yeah, I like this.
I like this version of Randy because this
is what I wanted when I was 20.
This version of Randy is at a point where, like, I've been this way for a long time. I've always been this way, but I mean, the older I've gotten, the just don't give a damn. Mm-hmm. And, like if I don't want to do something, I won't do it. And I don't give a damn if it upsets you, Randy. Yeah, that's just, I'm in that mode right now. Before, man, I don't want to do it. But I want to do it, so I'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Huh. No.
Do you think that's going to grow?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, eventually I'm not doing nothing.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I told you my phrase.
Eventually I'm not
I told you my phrase because that is like.
That's the goal, right?
There's two things in life about me that always people say this. They say, oh, if I say no to something, oh, you're being mean. Why is saying no being mean? That just means no. And then
there's various ways to say no.
Why is it that if I don't want to go somewhere or we're going to this place. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to go. You don't want to go anywhere. I didn't say that. Don't do that. Don't say I don't want to go anywhere. I just don't want to go there. You know, there's a difference between the two.
Right.
But people
eventually
I always want to generalize me with.
Well,
that.
But I'm not.
Like, I do.
I'm on your side of all this. I'm just saying. Eventually is to never do anything.
I do so much stuff. All right, that it goes unrecognized. Okay?
Well, that's because you live with people that want to do everything all the time.
All the time.
So when they do everything all the time and you do, I don't know, 25% of it.
I do more than 25%. I do at least 30.
30, okay, 30%
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
That means two out of three is a no.
Yes.
But
it's not even
they remember the no more than the yes.
It's not a no, though. It's not, that's what
I mean. I know. It's a hell no.
It's not even that. It's just, I just don't want to. I don't want to is not no.
Do you do it? Then it's a no.
No. I don't want to does not, is not in my, it's not me, Randy, does not, I don't view it as no.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to.
But then again, like, that's fine.
Yes.
On the front end.
Yes.
When it happens, are you there, is no or yes. Like,
sometimes,
that's what it is.
Sometimes,
right.
Yeah.
30% of the time.
Yeah. But my thing, and my kids are always like this with me. I don't never like to give the first yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Maybe that's why they think you're mean.
Like, she's so good. See, my kids, they're different because they're my kids. All right. My wife is so funny because she's always like if she wants to do something and I don't want to do it, she gets so mad at me because she knows eventually I'm going to say yes. So why did I just say yes the first time?
Yeah. I had a very you response yesterday to a thing that was brought up because my wife's been out of town all week. She got back. It wasn't 45 minutes before a trip was suggested.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've been over this, but 2025 is the year of no trips. We're not doing trips.
Right.
She's like, oh, the weather's going to be really bad this weekend. We should go to South Carolina. Like, what? What am I talking about? Why would we do that? It's like, well, I thought that maybe this would be the right thing. I was like, because sometimes when she says stuff like that so confidently, it's like, did we have a conversation about this
and
I forgot?
Exactly.
Did I forget that maybe like the second weekend of March we were planning on going to South Carolina? Mm-hmm. And then I went back to my 2025 rule, which is no, there's no trips in 2025. So that couldn't be.
Right.
But my reaction was very abrasive. I was like, what are you talking about? Why?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah, dog.
We're not going to South Carolina. But, we're going to weather the storm.
My family, my sister-in-law is in town. They were going to go to Nashville for the weekend and everything, but I guess they don't want to go anymore. So they're doing a staycation over they're doing a hotel with the pool and everything because our pool's not open yet. I'm just like, cool. But it's one of those things where when my wife says my first response after that to her text is, am I included in the we? And I always go, am I included in the we?
Is the answer to that ever no?
Yeah, a lot of times.
It is? Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. All right.
Then I go back to the point where I'm like, okay. Because I have.
Great, have fun.
You know, exactly. Y'all go have. I saw them this morning because they're probably gone when I get home from work. I'm like, all right, baby, I love you. I'll have a great time. Bye, 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 bye. Let it go. Fine. But there are certain situations where I'm like, I don't do, because this is how she knows she's going to get with me, because she knows that I don't share hotel rooms with other people. Well, her sister's here, so they're going to have one hotel room. My room.
That's a smart way to do it. Yeah. If you have all these like specific stipulations, then you can get out of stuff like that too. Mm-hmm. It's like, see, that's one of the rules.
Yeah.
I don't do that, so I can't be there for that. Very smart. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
I don't drive over 3 hours to go nowhere. I'm working that for you.
Yeah, right. I also don't fly anymore, so so I don't go anywhere then.
Dude, you gotta get your ass to be in an airplane soon.
Well, I'll be someday eventually, but hopefully never again. I don't want to fly. I hate it. It sucks. It's the worst. All right, let's hear DeMarcus Lawrence saying what he said about Dallas, and then we can get into the responses that happened after this. But here's DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah, so that's what he said into a microphone, one of the first opportunities he got after signing with the Seahawks. Micah Parsons didn't like that very much, so he said he was, like, jealous or something.
Yes, this what happens, envious, and this some clown blank.
And then DeMarcus said, well, it's true. So
I don't know.
If you were on the field and not podcasting or whatever, then maybe I would still be there.
I don't know what goes on in that locker room, but this – lets me know that these two dudes didn't like each other.
Yeah. Like the first opportunity they weren't teammates, this is happening. Yeah. Those guys did not like each other.
It lets me know that these two dudes didn't vibe. And so, like, you're not going to Super Bowl to Seattle.
Probably not.
Yeah. But,
not anytime soon.
I just think that.
Although they've won one more recently than the Cowboys
have. But I just think this to me seems like these two cats don't like each other, never like each other. I saw a tweet where Micah's brother got in on it. Like, sit your little dumb ass down, okay? you only relevant on Twitter because your last name is Parsons Jr. Shut the hell up,
so
all right?
He's just Micah's brother.
Yeah, man, shut the hell up, man. All right, don't be tired because you get your little ass slapped. All right, get out of here. Get out of here, dork. Come in here. I bet you. Shut up. Micah is a grown enough man to take care of himself.
No kidding.
But to me, this seems like these cats didn't like each other, and it seemed to me like D-Law was like, I'm about tired of this.
Right. You don't say something like that in this, ever, really.
Yes.
But in this day and age, knowing full well, like, from the time he said that to the time Micah Parsons responded to the time he responded to Micah Parsons was all within like 1 hour of each other. Like that was all bubbling.
That's one of them guys where he got his brother. Hey man, you see what D-Law said? Then Micah go look.
That's
let me get mad and tweet this back.
Now Micah's got something to talk about on his podcast.
Yeah, but I think that's what it, I think D-Law, he's still a new school, but he seemed like he got a little old school bottom.
I just love the signing for the Seahawks. I think it's a smart signing for that defense.
Get a veteran in there, everything. Yeah. But yeah, that's all that was. These cats don't like each other.
You see any of the video or pictures of Sam Darnold's introductory press conference with the Seahawks?
I saw he looks like a young Andy Bunker.
Fitting right in.
He looks like a young Andy Bunker.
Fitting right. I think that was a Pendleton flannel that he had on. It looked pretty nice.
Where's Pendleton? Expensive?
It's a nice one.
Oh, okay.
100% wool. Good action.
Yeah.
But no, he looked like he was ready to be a Pacific Northwesterner. I got a lot of people tweeting me pictures of Sam Darnold yesterday. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, no, I've heard we look alike. And then he shows up with the flannel on in Seattle?
Yes.
I'm rooting for him. Here's Doug Whaley talking about Aaron Rodgers holding up the Steelers and the entire NFL.
He's absolutely correct.
He is correct.
And Aaron's loving this and everything.
He is.
And I think we talked yesterday, and I think the longer it goes, the more I think that he's waiting for this Minnesota thing. And to me, it seems like Minnesota is really, really digging into this thing with Aaron Rodgers. Because
what do you think that even means? What do they need to know?
I don't know. Now, could they go with the whole theory of the year after Achilles and all those? I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't want that kind of spirit in my locker room.
Exactly.
All right?
Exactly.
Even with like when Brett went there, it wasn't like this.
Not quite.
It wasn't quite like this. All right. Like, we didn't find out how much of a creep Brett was until years later.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't find out how big a creep.
Aaron Rodgers has been letting us know what kind of creep
forever.
He is for 5 years.
And so, this is a hard one for me. I'm like, you got a young quarterback, because that's the thing about it. If Aaron comes, is Aaron coming on a 1 year deal or is he coming on a 2 year deal? Then that just. What do y'all not know? What aren't y'all telling us about JJ?
Yeah, maybe that's a part of it, and that would make sense. Like, if there's something about JJ McCarthy that is unknown to us, then that would, I don't know, that would explain this a little bit to me. But unless that's what's going on, I don't understand what the conversation. Like, okay, second year after an Achilles, that's a 2 minute conversation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's taking so long? It has to be some sort of debate in the front office about whether or not it's the right thing to do, right? Like, there's no, I don't know.
Dude.
I wouldn't do it. That's all I'm saying.
Wes Schweitzer still around?
Oh, yeah.
Remember Wes Schweitzer?
I do remember Wes Schweitzer.
Wes Schweitzer.
Did he just get signed?
Yes, with the Patriots. I don't want you to know. Wes Schweitzer.
I believe he was on the Falcons NFC Championship team, wasn't he?
Oh, I could tell you that.
Wasn't he?
I think so. Yeah, I remember Wes Schweitzer was going to be the answer.
To what question? No, he wasn't. He joined the team the next year. Played for the Falcons in 2017. So the last time the Falcons made the playoffs, he was on that team in 2017. But he was on the team for a few years. All right, we'll come back. Smokin' Joe Patrick's going to join us next. We'll talk some Falcons with him. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. Does he get it, do you think?
Who, Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he gets it. Because the reason I'm saying that, the reason we're playing the Stone Cold Steve Austin is not because of my brother from another, John Chuckery, who's down in Florida on the beach getting his tan. It's because I saw Joe Patrick for the first time in a long time. And I've never seen Joe without a hat. I saw Joe without a hat one time. I was like, oh, that's what Joe looks like without a hat.
Usually wears a hat.
Usually wears a hat. Just like me. I came to work on Tuesday.
Freaked everybody out.
And I forgot my hat. Freaked all y'all out. I'm like, Randy, what's going on? I was like, yeah, I forgot my hat. I was getting Nico big ass in the car.
Yeah.
And
Luckily you had one here.
Luckily I had one here. So, I mean, I always got a hat and shoes everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so Joe yesterday comes in. He has the beanie on. And then he takes off the beanie. And Joe has no hair with the goatee.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I thought about. He wants Stone Cold.
He likes trouble.
Yeah, he likes trouble because he's moved our time 4 times in 2 days.
I know. No kidding.
11:40, 12:20. No, you know what? I think I want 11:40. You know what? Joe just said 11.
Is he even on hold? Like, is he available?
Is he there?
Oh, he is. Okay.
Oh, he's there. Okay.
Great. Well, then let's get to him.
Yeah.
In one quarter, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday
host. All is about my moving the time and maybe bouncing in whenever I want.
Two birds with one stone.
Cold. Joe Patrick at an undisclosed height and weight because he likes to cause trouble.
Two birds and one stone. Cold.
I'm about to open up two cans of whoop ass on y'all. sure, the hair's gone.
Is your new haircut the most interesting thing that's happened Falcons free agency related?
I thought you were going to say more most interesting thing about me, which is yes. Falcons free agency? Yeah, probably. I mean, the Falcons free agency has just been kind of re-signing some of the depth players or some of the, you know, kind of budget quality players like a Mike Hughes that they've had. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you lose a player like Grady Jarrett, Andrew Dahlman, like two key starters for you, and to think that you're actually, you know, making the team overall better. And honestly, guys, you know, I know we're just kind of diving right into a Falcons conversation here, but, you know, I think that it's going to be the theme of this defense where, like, they're going to have to rely on players to step up who have not quite, you know, proven it yet in their careers. Not every guy on that defense. Obviously, some of them, Caden Ellis, Jesse Bates, we know the stars. But guys like Ruka Roro, guys like Trey Anderson, you know, can he stay healthy and prove that he's a quality NFL player? I think, you know, the Falcons' defensive fate and, you know, frankly, the fate of the team, I think is going to rest on some of these players being able to step up and fill the void for some of these key players that they've lost. Not that they've lost a ton of players, but they've lost some very key players they're going to need to make sure they have cover for.
Hey, JP, were you surprised at the re-signing of Mike Hughes because of, you know, there was always a thing where they need a new corner. Yeah, they still need another corner. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
But for him to come back on the number that he came back on?
Yeah, no, I was not surprised because I did think that they talk glowingly about Mike and what he brings to the team, not just for his, you know, what you typically, you know, want from your cornerback in terms of the coverage skills and everything, but what the coaches will talk about when it comes to Mike Hughes is the physicality that he brings and kind of setting the tone from a position that's not quite known for, you know, kind of establishing that. And that's just a quality that he brings that really, I think, helps give the defense some identity. Now, when it does come to the coverage for him, I think there's a key here, which is that they see him as an outside corner. And if they were really going to go for, you know, some high-quality cornerback, obviously that's not so much available in the free agent market for this team, considering the circumstances. But, you know, if they were to target somebody from the outside, I don't think that Mike Hughes would be the corner that they would want playing the nickel. But based on the fact that they did re-sign him, I think that we now have a clear indication that you're obviously going to have AJ on one side and Mike Hughes on the other. And they could very well draft a cornerback with their first pick, with the 15th pick in this draft. I think that corner can be expected to slot in as a nickel corner, which is a starting player in the NFL. By the way, I know a lot of people hear nickel corner and you kind of think, oh, that's a backup. No, that's a full-time player on an NFL defense. But and maybe if they do draft a corner, you would think that the track for that player would be, you know, you start as a slot and then maybe we'll potentially move you to the outside, potentially move you to safety if that player is capable of having that versatility. But I think that it definitely, you know, lends to the fact that, you know, they are very comfortable with Mike Hughes in Raheem Morris's defensive system, the coverage system that he likes to deploy in, you know, doing what they think he needs to be doing.
If you had made a list, and maybe you did because you cover the team, you write stuff down from time to time, of Falcons' needs pre-free agency, and then you checked that list now, is it shorter? Is it longer? Is it the same? Like, how has the last week shifted the roster composition and what happens next?
It's a great question because I think that it's nearly the same. I think that there's one position you can – I'm going to say, like, kind of tick off the list, even though I think that they will add to this group probably in the draft. I think there are some interesting players at the back end of the draft they could target here. But at the linebacker position, I think that by signing Divine Diablo, elite name, they have rounded out that group now with four, you know, linebackers that they trust. Now, can those players be on the field all the time? Like Troy Anderson, we'll see. But with Caden Ellis, Troy Anderson, Divine Diablo, and then J.D. Bertrand, who I know that they love, and I think that there are some weaknesses to his game, but I think that they are very happy with him being the fourth linebacker in this team. I think that they're pretty well covered there. Again, I think that they could use maybe one of those seventh-round picks that they have to, again, go after one of those guys, although when you're talking about a fifth linebacker on a team, that's a special teams player mainly. But I think that what they've done in free agency is smart in that they've kind of covered their bases. They've gotten essentially bodies in at all the positions that they kind of need. Center not so much, but they still have the right of first refusal. So they haven't really executed the transaction on Neusel yet, but they've kind of got him sitting there ready. So I'm considering him part of the team at this point. But what they don't have is kind of that top end quality at some of these positions. And so, you know, again, nickelback is a huge issue that still stands out. Safety. Do you trust DeMarco Helms? I think there's a lot of questions about that, considering he missed all of last year. Going into last year, I think that there was a lot of optimism that he could take over that safety spot. But yeah, and then how many resources do you want to devote to that spot to make sure that you're covered? I think that you at least need another body there for sure. And then on the defensive line, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I still think that there's a player in particular in David Onyemata who's on the roster at this point, but I still think is a cut candidate at some point. I mean, he's making $17 million. He's $17 million against the cap this year. If there is a move, potentially a big move out there that they're hoping to get done, potentially for a Trey Hendrickson, for example, then maybe David Onyemata is a guy who's still there because they want, you know, they know that they can kind of free up that money at any point in time. But I still think, to answer your question, Andy, there's a lot of talent that they need to bring in at the kind of the top of the pecking order, the top of the depth chart in some of these areas. But I think what it's been smart that they've done is kind of cover their bases. So from this point forward, they can go out there, whether it's the draft or a trade or free agency, and kind of address that top quality issue and really target whoever they want and give themselves a lot of versatility in that respect.
I did not realize his number was that large. And when and I wanted to ask you, now I got to change my question, because I was going to ask you something about 18. But if that's the case, how much faith do you think Arthur Smith has in this Raheem, Terry Fontenot regime to be able to commit long-term type things like that? Because you're going to have to give up a lot if you want to go get a Trey Hendrickson. So do you know if they have – no, you probably don't know, Joe. But do you think they have the faith to maybe have to give up a possible two next year in order to get a guy like that?
I think they would. You know, the Trey Hendrickson thing is really interesting, because the reports out there are saying that the Bengals are demanding a first-round pick, right, which – man, that brings me back to the conversations that we were having about Lamar Jackson back in the day, where, you know, I was kind of making the point where it's like, yeah, like you should definitely, you know, if you can get a quarterback of that caliber, you pay him whatever he's worth. But can you actually, has it been stood up as, is there a test case out there that shows that you can actually win a Super Bowl by giving away two first round picks and then paying the quarterback that much? I was not sure about that. And I think the same here with Trey Hendrickson. I mean, you're going to have to give him a big number. That's going to handicap your team in a way where you then need those top picks. You know, you need your first-round picks in that case if you're going to be paying that number. So I think that there is still, you know, this team can still open up a lot of cap space. Like a substantial amount. Like, let's say enough to cover a big incoming player coming in.
Beyond Onyemata, what are the other ways they could do that beyond Onyemata?
Jesse. Yeah, I mean, there's restructures they could do with Chris Lindstrom, with Jesse Bates, I believe they could restructure. And this would be temporary, just like opening up cap space. So you could just open up cap space for this year.
Right.
So then you could fit guys in. Then you'd have more problems to deal with down the road. But I think we all want to see them bring in, you know, high caliber players that can help this team immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of gets back to Randy's question of like, yeah, short-term fix, long-term ramifications.
But
if the short-term fix doesn't work, the long-term ramifications are somebody else's problem. And are they empowering these guys to be like, you know, mortgaging the future to save their own personal future? I don't know. I would hope so. Like, I would hope that even though it is like win or go home for some of these guys, I feel like this year from a Falcons front office perspective, I would still hope that Arthur Blank would be like, you know, do whatever you think is right. You know, like you got to do what you think is the best thing for now and for the future of this team, even if I don't know how long your future is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would hope.
I think Terry Fondo has been responsible about the signing so far. I don't think we have any indications that he's like, you know, going into this free agency period with his job as the top priority. I don't think that's the case at all.
No.
So,
no.
But we'll see.
No. But I mean, they're the same thing, right? Like if the free agency period goes well and they win, then his job is retained. Joe, we appreciate it. Thank you.
JP.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Smoking Joe Patrick there joins us, I think, Fridays, right? Or whenever he's available.
Know.
Whatever is available. We'll come back. We'll get you updated on what's going on at the Players' Championship. We'll do a little mini back page with Bo, and then we'll get to some Sports Jeopardy as well. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Be down with the king.
Make sure you stay with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all week. It's Friday. all week. You made it. You've stayed with us all week. For updates on the Players' Championship, brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, Humberto Injury Law, when it's game time and winning is the only option, and the Georgia Hemp Company, come check out our brand new locations. All of your coverage for major championship golf in Atlanta and even tournaments that aren't majors like the Players' Championship, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Minwoo Lee. In first place, solo, 12 under, 7 under today.
Let's go, Rory.
Playing good. Rory.
Represent for us Scottish guys.
The McIlroys and the McMichaels have a long history of friendship.
Like my aunt say, the Max.
J.J. Spahn in second place. Rory's tied for third now at 10 under. Made a bogey a couple holes ago. Colin Morikawa is in the mix, as he has been a ton lately. Ricky Fowler, Billy Horschel. So a lot of good names atop the leaderboard at the Players' Championship.
Yeah, shout out to, oh my God, I just lost it. My man Derek C.
Derek.
This is a great picture. This is a great picture.
Derek's fired up about his Wild Turkey 101.
Wild Turkey 101, man. So appreciate it. And then again, my man Frank Rudd. Oh boy, I mean, you talk about the liquor, but what he got right there? He got a Peridoma, Habanero. I got one of those. D. Frank Rudd, the cigar brand he's smoking. Such a smooth smoke.
That's a good one.
Very good smoke.
Good.
Yeah, very good smoke. And it's a couple. I saw this on Reels. Because my boy Taryn Smith and them, they go to this cigar spot. Big Falston go to it. And I'm like, I got to check it out. Maybe today, because again, my wife and them, they doing their thing with her sister and the boys. And I can't, let me pull up real quick, because I want to give, it's a cigar bar that I can't find right now in my contacts.
But, all right, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah, because my phone's not loaded. But yeah, this is a new cigar bar that I want to go to that I found. And I was like, okay, I'm going there.
Okay.
Today.
Well, good.
But I'm going to put my good clothes on in.
Oh, yeah, you can't go there
in
sweats.
Yeah.
You come here in sweats.
I come here in sweats.
You can't go there in sweats.
But you know what's funny? The tweet we got the other day from a listener, I thought was funny. He's like, what would you rather do, the podcast or the show? I was like, you did the perfect. He was so nice with your response.
Gave him an honest answer.
But it was a nice response.
Oh.
Hell you mean? Which one pay?
Oh, well, I mean, kind of both. But yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
All right.
But I like doing both of them.
I love doing both.
The podcast and the show are both good.
You see this mic I crack open?
I know, but what's the future? You know what I mean? Where's the future headed?
Dude, I'm podcast. Talking about you let me get in the pod. You let me get my that podcast going. Like,
we have one.
No, I'm talking about we need to do it because we need to Zoom the podcast.
That'd be great.
On the weekend. Well, like us just being in our elements of talking crap, my kids in the background.
Great.
Yes.
Then you keep the ideas rolling. This is an awesome idea.
I thought about this.
This is great.
I thought about this. We
got to share these gems.
And it's me and you, kids in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. You know what I thought we should do as the Braves season gets closer? Because we all have kids that kind of care about what's going on there. Mine less than yours, but still. She knows kind of a little bit, though, now. Uh-huh. We should do a little Braves season preview. Lily does her little season preview. Uh-huh. Samson does his little season preview.
Oh, Juice that'll does be great. Hers. That'll be great.
And, like, on opening day, we can play little clips of their, I don't know, we can have, like, three or four things that they predict or what they think's going to happen. And we'll do, like, the 92.9, the game, midday kids, Braves picks.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
Okay, good.
Stanley Cigars. That's
there it is.
Stanley Cigars.
We got
there. Yeah, I'm going to hit
it. We got there. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
A couple of weeks away from the season, boys, and that means the new ballpark food's going to start rolling out, too. So y'all remember last year when I told you that we are remodeling the right field portion of Truist Park? They're going to take away Hope and Will's Sandlot. Mm-hmm. They're going to add some seating over there. Okay. And then what they're doing is they're putting in an outfield market with a bunch of different food kiosks.
Right.
Really?
All right, so I have a list of
food hall.
Yeah,
nothing we love more.
Let me guess, cashless.
Nothing we love more than a food hall.
I don't think we'll never not be cashless.
Yeah.
Anytime you see any construction anywhere, it's a food hall.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it's going to be. It's called the Outfield Market, and here is a list of the establishments that are going to be selling food. So Pepper's Hot Dogs, gourmet hot dog joint. Coop's Wings. Pretty self-explanatory. The Mo Bay Beignet Company.
Interesting.
Oh, wow. Should be pretty cool. Taqueria Tsunami, who's actually got a lot of stand-ups around town. It's a like a taco fusion joint. Pretty good place.
It's like Korean?
Yeah, it's Asian tacos. Okay. Yeah, or Korean. Yeah, cool. Popcorn remix. Sugar Shane's, which is one of those nice cookie joints.
Oh,
Velvet Taco.
Two taco places.
Two taco joints. NFA Burger stepping into Truist Park.
All right.
Never had NFA Burger.
That's fantastic. A good burger.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then
they brought them by here a couple times.
They had like the one store that was inside a gas station. Yes. They just recently did a standalone, if I'm not mistaken.
Really, really good.
Shout out to those guys, NFA Burger. And Fred's Meat and Bread, which is a cheesesteak joint.
Fred's Meat and Bread.
You know where I've had Fred's Meat and Bread?
Oh, you've actually? I've never heard of them.
At a food hall. at Krog Market, the food hall.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. No, they got really good. They got good burgers. They got good cheesesteaks. Really good.
Yeah, so there you go. Coming soon to a ballpark near you, which is really...
That is one of the things I love about, you go to a Braves game now, you can get really good dinner.
Dude.
Like, you don't have to eat till you get there. Obviously, the Battery has all kinds of good options.
But
then you get in the building. Now, it's going to cost you.
You know what?
Cost a couple bucks.
Hey, you know what I was thinking about a couple of days ago? I was thinking about, damn, I can't wait to that one or two free times I get to go to Delta Club.
Oh, I know.
That's what I was thinking about.
I've got to behave myself better than I did last year.
I did.
I was fine in the Delta Post game.
I wasn't good when
I got out of the Delta
I was being
Club.
So selfish. Like, damn, I can't wait to boat Texas. Hey, dog, we got four tickets to the Delta
The only
Club.
Save the date you look forward to.
The only thing.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
When you see Bo's, they pop up, or as Abe named our cute text group, which I very rarely. But during baseball season, I'm the first to get to it because I'm like, Bo got tickets.
This might be it.
This might be it.
This might be the date.
Hold on. I got 30 minutes to get there. There you go. Hey, Nico, watch Bash. Nico, watch your baby. All right, we going to the game. But I thought, damn, I can't wait for the Delta Club. Yeah, I'm spoiled.
When we went last year, had we put in the candy wall yet?
There was no candy wall.
There's a candy wall now.
I just remember all the free makers that I was.
Yeah.
Lots of makers.
Lot of liquor.
And all the makers I bought afterwards.
We'll be working on that early in the season. We'll work on that.
That's what I love about my boy here. Because he turns into Mike Bell.
Oh, yeah. I'm a pay-the-bill guy.
When we start, when we get to drinking and everything together. I'm buying.
What an idiot.
Okay.
With my very rich friends.
They're like, all right, you sure? And I always say this.
You always do.
I always insist.
You're not paying for me. I'll pay for myself.
I always say this.
And
me and Andy are together. And he start buying drinks. And I always say the same thing to him. I'm saying, you sure?
Same thing every time.
And Andy says, I got it.
I got to get one and at least two, man. Yeah. Got to.
I'm usually fried after two. I'm a very fun, generous, friendly drunk. It's fun, but it's expensive.
Yes.
You want to do Sports Jeopardy?
Let's do
Sports Jeopardy.
But yeah, every single time, I'm like, Andy, you sure? Oh, yeah, I got it.
I'm going to give you like a pep talk about your life. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to pay for all your drinks. Oh, God. And then I'm going to text you an apology the next morning. I'm sorry that I did that. There's always an apology from you the next morning. My bad.
Oh, damn, that didn't come out good.
Hi, Abe.
You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Born ready.
All right. Shout out to all my math nerds. Happy Pi Day.
Yes.
Here we go.
Why do you keep doing this to yourself? 314.
Well, it's a themed Jeopardy.
Is it pie themed?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Selected in the third round with the 14th pick the 2020 NFL draft, which former Falcons offensive lineman attended Temple?
I heard Randy.
Okay.
Matt Hennessy?
Damn it.
That's correct.
Yeah. It is correct.
I mean, we're just talking about him.
I did not know that was a thing, but okay. We talked about him up there. We interviewed him, asked him if he ever drank Hennessy, and he said no. Should have cut him that day.
He said no.
The last Braves batter to hit .314 over the course of an entire season was catcher Johnny Estrada, who did so in which season in the 2000s?
Andy. 2008.
Incorrect.
2006.
Incorrect. 2004.
You were closer.
Name one of the two franchises that Felix P.A. Pie.
I thought it was Pie.
It's P.A.
Oh, it's P.A.? Okay.
Spent multiple MLB seasons with. Andy.
The Pirates.
That is incorrect.
Oh. Okay.
He was with the Pirates, but only for one season.
Could you answer? Okay.
One of the two franchises that Felix P.A. spent multiple MLB seasons with.
Okay, so P.A. I'm just going to Google Braves. I have no clue who that is.
The Orioles.
He was with the Braves for a couple of weeks, but no. Cubs or Orioles would have been acceptable.
I really thought his name was Felix Pie.
It's P.A. This MLB legend, whose number is retired by the New York Mets, was an 8-time All-Star, 3-time World Series champ, and won
Randy. Daryl Strawberry.
Rookie of the Year, that is correct, in 1983, shares his last name with a popular type of pie. Daryl Strawberry is correct.
Strawberry pie. This is pretty good, Abe.
Here we go.
This is pretty good.
Also sharing his last name with a traditional fruit pie, this hockey commentator was famously known for his outlandish suits.
Andy.
Oh,
Don Lemon.
That is incorrect.
No, dang it. That's a CNN guy.
That is a CNN guy.
That's a CNN guy.
Randy, you're halfway guy? There. You're
I know
halfway
the answer
there,
to
man.
This one, too. Right, what an idiot.
Lemon.
Don Cherry. I'm an idiot.
I'm not going to take
it. Don Cherry.
I'm not going to take it, though. I'm not going to take it.
You have a 2-0 lead. Yeah. We got 2 more pie-themed questions. Born Eli Woodward.
Lemon.
This former Ohio State star and NFL cornerback changed his name to honor his father.
Randy.
Andy.
That dork.
Randy hates this guy.
Man, I can't stand his ass.
I'm going to need
his
you
mama
to say
fine.
It.
His mama fine, though.
You got to say his name,
though. Can we get?
I know, man.
I know.
He like that little ventriloquist dog.
If you'd like to just say the type of pie.
Still on the, he's still being breastfed to this day. Apple.
That is correct. Yeah. Also happens to be one of the more popular pies in America. Eli Apple.
Damn it.
Yeah.
All right. Randy is going to win, but I do have one more pie-themed question.
All these answers.
We may as well use it today.
I'm an idiot.
This MLB-er, with a career batting average of .314, singled to center in his 10th career at bat, and his average never again dipped below .300.
Andy. Ichiro.
That is correct.
What kind of pie is Ichiro?
No, he hit .314.
Oh, okay.
So we went back to the 3.14.
Like, Ichiro actually in Japanese means lemon meringue pie.
We went back to the 3.14.
Yeah,
people don't know that. That's a little known fact.
Randy wins 3-1.
Hang it. Don Lemon. See, I got CNN on
when
the brain.
When you said Don Lemon, I feel like.
I didn't even think of Don Lemon.
You talking about the CNN guy?
Don Cherry.
Former CNN guy?
Former, yeah.
Yeah, former CNA guy.
Dang it.
That's all good.
That one hurt.
That was a great signing, right?
All those ones.
We were talking about Gardner Minshew.
The Chiefs.
Yeah. Is Pat Mahomes, is he going to ask Pat for 15?
Don't think so. They even put on the graphic that he's 16.
Oh, that is 16. Okay, I can't see with the glare.
They're like, well, we know he's not getting 15.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
You think he called Pat, though?
Didn't Joe Montana wore 19 when he was there?
Yeah, Joe Montana wore 19 there.
16 must be retired. Right? Len Dawson, right?
Lynn Dawson was 16. Yeah.
So he's not going to wear 16
but
either.
But it's great because when Joe Montana went there, a lot of people – I remember a little jit when Joe went to – and we all thought that, like, he changed it because he was mad at the 49ers.
Oh,
we
always thought that,
but then we didn't know nothing about Lynn. The other 16 was retired.
Yeah. He was good with the Chiefs.
He was all right.
Like, he wasn't Joe Montana in the 80s with the 49ers. They went to the AFC Championship game, I think, right?
Yep.
With the Chiefs 1 year? Like, he had a couple pretty good years there. I don't know.
That's when he was on that hard-ass AstroTurf.
Yeah. And they're in the AFC.
West.
The Seahawks were in their division at that point.
With them.
The Broncos and the Raiders. The Chargers weren't in it yet.
No. Yes, they were.
Oh, they were. Oh, so it was 5 of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember, that was 5 before they went to 4.
Right. Yeah. Right. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Back into a little Falcons free agency conversation. A thought occurred to me during the Joe Patrick interview that I want to say to you next and see if you think that I'm crazy or not. I'll say it on the air and we'll find out together. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.